Welcome to the Sunny Hill podcast. For more information about service times and locations, please visit sunnyhill.church.
Wow, what a moment already. Now, Holy Spirit's in this place. Stay standing for a moment. I believe God wants to do something special tonight already. There's been moments, and I'm sure God's unlocking stuff in people's spirits. But I'm a great believer in God. There's always more. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, there's more. There's more. Come on, shake the other person and say, there's more, there's more. There's more. There's more in Jesus' name. Now, what I want you to do, okay, everybody in this room, I want you to put your hands in the air, lift them as high as they can go. Okay, lift them as high as they can go. Okay, look around the room, hands are up. Okay, right now, what I want you to do is I want you to give me 2 more inches. Go, right now, go. Wow. Wow, I thought you lifted your hands as high as they could go. There was 2 more inches. Come on, there's always more in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're believing for more, let's give God a big clap. Amen. And how about you high-five 5 people before you take your seat? 5 different people around you, high-five them. Come on, my man. 5 different people. All right. Well, it's such an honor and privilege to be here. And I want to thank your pastors, both Dom and Louise, amazing people. Our church in New Zealand, love them when they came down. Yeah, can we put our hands together and give them a big hand? And we don't take lightly the sacrifices they've made to lead a church like this. How many reckon this is an amazing church? Full of incredible people. And I want us to put our hands together also for all those who put today on, all the volunteers, organize the meals. Come on, the production team, the musicians. Come on, can we put our hands together? I've created an environment so that we can experience God, and we applaud you. We thank God for you. And, you know, I want to thank you for just receiving the ministry as well. But it's not over. This is the last session for tonight, and then I've got 3 sessions on Sunday, and then I go on a plane at 10 o'clock at night and go 24 hours back home to wee little old New Zealand. Not old, we're relatively young. But we're a small country. Do you know we have more sheep than people? And who would have thought from New Zealand we could actually have an impact in the world? And I just love what God's doing. You know, I'm from a one-horse town. That's where I was born. One-horse town, hardly any people lived in it. And just to see God do incredible things. Before I was here, I was actually in Brazil. And we're planting 2 churches at the same time. One in Rio and one in Sao Paulo. And we ran gatherings there, our first gathering in Sao Paulo, and we had over 100 people. But God's moving, you know, in Brazil, and Brazil needs a move of God. And I love what God's doing in that place. But, you know, who would have thought we'd be able to impact the UK, you know, with our churches here, but also planting in Germany and in Switzerland and in Italy. 3 years ago, we planted in Rome, and already that church is reaching around about 500 people. In 3 years, just going from strength to strength. We're planting in Budapest, in Ghana, in Manila. In fact, our church in Manila last week baptized 103 people. So that's exploding, going from strength to strength. You know, our church is in Tonga. Some of you don't even know where Tonga is, but we've got a church there. And also 21 other locations we've planted around New Zealand. And I'm surprised as anybody at what God's done. But I know God is faithful to His word, and all His promises, as we just heard, are yes in Christ, and they are amen. And Sunny Hills days, the best days are ahead in Jesus' name. You haven't seen anything yet in terms of what God wants to release. And the next season of this church is going to be incredible. And I say, don't stand on the edge and just observe. Put yourself right in the middle of what God's doing in this place. And you'll be able to testify to His goodness in Jesus' name. Well, I like Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you shall receive what? Anybody know? You shall receive, come on, you got to say it like that. You shall receive power. Yeah, you can't say power. No, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, you and I have received the power that's needed to fulfill the mission that God's given us. You know, some years ago, I went to a football match in England. It was my first experience of an English football match. And you guys are crazy supporters, because it was freezing cold. And before the whistle even blew, you know, the ground was packed. It was a Division One match, a Championship League match. And it was Brentford playing Gillingham, I think. They were the two teams. And there was a bit of animosity between them, because the last time they played, apparently the managers didn't shake hands. And so there was a bit of feeling in the Brentford crowd. And, you know, I was just amazed by the atmosphere, because before the whistle blew, people were singing, people were chanting. And I thought, man, that's incredible. How many know we all worship? It's just a matter of what? You know, at concerts, there's great worship. You know, U2 was just in New Zealand. There's great worship at a U2 concert. Amazing worship. But how many know people are just worshiping the wrong thing? Sadly, in church, sometimes there's bad worship, and we're worshiping somebody who's worthy of it. That's why I believe church should have the biggest crowd. You know, in church, our God deserves the biggest applause. Come on, because He's worthy of the highest praise. Do I get an amen in this place? That's our God. But in the stadium, you know, it was an incredible atmosphere, and Brentford went up 1-0. And then they went up 2-0, and then they went up 3-0, and then they went up 4-0. And, you know, the Brentford supporters were just going off the charts, and then everybody calmed down for a moment. And then two guys stood up beside me, and they started pointing at the Gillingham manager and saying, "You're getting sacked in the morning. You're getting sacked in the..." Yeah, and I thought that was quite funny. Yeah, I started laughing. But next minute, a whole group around me started declaring the same thing, telling this guy he was going to be unemployed in the morning. Then to a point where the whole stand stood up. But it didn't stop there. It went to three quarters of the ground, and it was only the Gillingham supporters sitting down. But everybody was pointing at this manager, saying he was going to have to look for a new job in the morning. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Not that he was going to lose his job, but that two guys had influence over almost a whole stadium. And two guys got a whole stadium declaring the same thing. That's incredible. One thing I like going to seeing at live sports matches is the Mexican wave. Come on, the Mexican wave in a full stadium is something awesome to behold. You know, it's incredible when it comes at you. In fact, one of our pastors just posted on Insta, you know, he was at Twickenham Stadium this afternoon, and them doing a wave there. It looked incredible, you know, but when it's coming at you, it's a sight to behold. You know, you're anticipating your moment. You're grabbing what's ever at your disposal. And then one moment of complete abandonment, you just let yourself go in that moment. And the whole stadium, it goes around, and it creates amazing atmosphere. What is the church of the living God? It's a wave. It's a wave. It's an unstoppable wave in motion. Man, I love what God's doing in our church right now. You know, through our young people. Recently, one of our pastors was down in the South Island at one of our campuses. And after he preached, he had a 97-year-old lady come to him and say, "Oh, can you pray for me?" And he said, what do you want to pray about? And she said, "I want to pray for the youth in Auckland. I want to pray that there'll be a revival in the youth of Auckland." And she said, why the youth in Auckland? You're in Timaru, which is down south. And she said, "Well, my daughter is a principal of a high school in Auckland, and I want to see a move of God in that high school." And the amazing thing, they prayed But he was able to tell her, this 97-year-old lady, that in that high school, right now we have a Christian group that meets that gets over 170 young people to it on a weekly basis. And that her prayers down in Timaru, down the South Island, were working in the North Island. You know, how many know God can go over geographic boundaries? He can move by His Spirit. And we're seeing something take place in our youth ministry to a point where about a month and a half ago, our young people ran an event. We're getting around about 960, 980, and they hadn't cracked through the 1,000 barrier. But in an event, they said, we're going to invite our friends and get over 1,000. Do you know, they rallied together, and they saw come out on one night 1,138 young people, teenagers. And do you know, that night, with no guest speaker, with no band, you know, they saw 403 give their hearts to Jesus. Come on, that's a groundswell. That's a wave where people have said to us, you'll never get into high schools. We said, we've got young people in high schools who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they can spark a revolution in that high school. Come on, if you're young in this place tonight, you didn't get a mini version of God. You didn't get a lesser version of God. The same God that was in Paul the Apostle, that was in Reinhard Bonnke, is in you today. You didn't get a junior God. Come on, you got the power of God when you open your heart to Him and receive the Holy Spirit. And God wants to awaken a generation. Come on, God wants to see something mighty happen in the UK, in the church in the UK. And I believe He's pouring out His Spirit in Jesus' name. But we're part of a wave. But where does a wave start? A wave normally starts with two or three intoxicated people. You know, normally there's a disinterest, dissatisfaction with the game. They started, they're totally committed, and they keep on going until they see a whole stadium embracing it. You know, I'm believing God wants to start a wave from this weekend. You know, in Sunny Hills, that's going to be unstoppable in Jesus' name. His church, the church, Jesus' church, the church of Jesus Christ, should be unstoppable. In the past, it's been too easily stopped. But I believe we're going to have the braking distance of a runaway train. You know, with what once stopped us, we're going to be able to overcome, and we're going to be able to move forward. Come on, how many want to start a wave? To start a wave, what do we need? Number one, what we need is two or three intoxicated people who are not filled with that other spirit, but the Holy Spirit. How do you know whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Whoa, we've got a wave going right now. You better watch out before the night's out. This place is going to go crazy. I got a feeling in my spirit. How do you know whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Whoa, you can go all night. I don't care. How do you know whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? It's when you can surrender the me, the my, and the I for the we, the our, and the us. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. You know, I have a lot of people come to me and say, Sam, I just want to make a difference. Over time, I find out it's more about the I than the difference. You know, it's about, you know, as long as I have a position, long as I'm recognized, long as, you know, people say, hey, you know, bow down to me, it's like I'll get involved. But we need a people who will surrender the I, surrender the me, surrender the my, and will embrace the we, the our, and the us. Come on, every move of God comes from people who come to a place of total surrender. See, I know it's not popular in today's Christianity pop culture, is that it's not preached that our lives are no longer our own. You know, everybody comes to church and they're talking about their rights. But when you become a believer in Jesus, you have no rights. Your life is no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. And when you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, is then and there you can surrender. He gives you the power to be witnesses. You know, he gives you the power to lay down your life. In fact, that word witness in the original language is the same word that's used for martyr. So the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can lay down our lives for the cause of Jesus. You know, how do you know whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, some time ago, I was out for dinner. And, you know, I was out with my mates. And when it comes to dinner, normally I look for meat on the menu. How many know you can't beat a good steak? Sorry, all you vegetarians. And ordered the meat, ate the meat. Then came time for dessert. And, you know, the waiters often say, do you want to have a look at the dessert menu? And if you say yes, how many know you're going to order? You're never just going to have a look. You know, you're going to order. I didn't take notice of what my friend ordered. I think I ordered a creme brulee. I think, you know, on it, there was apple crumble, there was ice cream. But, you know, I went for the creme brulee. Didn't take notice of what he was ordering. Anyway, I received my dessert. His was put in front of him. And what was put in front of him was a bowl of broccoli. And I'm going, hey, we just had our mains. And, you know, why are they giving you broccoli? And he just said, oh, I just felt like broccoli. I said, what, for dessert? He goes, yeah, I'm allowed to eat broccoli if I want. I don't know about you, but when I think of dessert, I definitely don't think of broccoli. I think of apple pie, apple crumble, you know, ice cream. How many getting a little bit hungry? You shouldn't be. You just ate it. Bowl of broccoli. And he goes, well, I just felt like it. You know, now, when I think of dessert, you know, it doesn't even enter my mind. You know, broccoli doesn't even come into the equation. Now, I know broccoli is a good food. It's a power food. It's good for you. And I eat it because I know it's good for me. But it's not something I desire. How do you know whether you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? It's when you can order broccoli for dessert. Because what the Holy Spirit does is he takes the right thing and he makes it a desired thing. Now, I didn't understand a passage in Isaiah chapter 11 until my friend did this. It's a messianic prophecy. It's about Jesus. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of counsel and might. It talks about this is Jesus. You know, that the Spirit will rest upon him. And then in about verse 6, it gives some crazy pictures. It says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Now, I've watched the Discovery Channel. I've never seen a wolf dwell with a lamb. I've seen a wolf eat a lamb. You know, but what it's saying is when the Spirit of God comes, God will change the nature of the wolf so that it will dwell with the lamb. It says a leopard will lie down with a young goat. You know, the question I want to ask you is, can a leopard change its spots? Some of you are saying, I am this way because I've always been as part of my personality. You know, my parents struggled with it, so I'm going to struggle with it. No, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, a leopard can change its spots. And God changes your nature so the right thing becomes a desired thing. You know, it goes on and says, the lion shall eat straw like an ox. You know, that's like a dairy farmer becoming a vegetarian. A lion eating straw like an ox? But that's what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There'll be a nature change. There'll be a change in your nature where you can order broccoli for dessert. Yeah, see, many people right now, they're in church because they know it's the right thing to do. They read their Bible because they know it's the right thing to do. You know, they pray because they know it's the right thing to do. But it's all a little bit, hard. And it's a struggle. And we're doing it under discipline. And we wonder why the temptation of banoffee pie gets us over here. And, you know, it's like, ice cream, you know, put in front of us. We know this is the right thing, but it's not the desired thing. But here's the good news. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says that God gives us the power. Somebody say the power. He gives us the power and the desire to do what pleases him. Some of you have been relying on yourself. Oh, I don't know why I'm not getting anything out of this. It's because you're not relying on the Holy Spirit. See, when you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's Him who gives you the power, and it's Him who gives you the desire to do what pleases Him. So when you wake up, man, I can't get enough of the Word of God. I can't get, you know, reading the Bible without the Holy Spirit. It's just words on a page. But when you've got the Holy Spirit, words jump out at you. You know, you'd rather be in church at a prayer meeting than watching a movie, because there's something in you that draws you. Come on, how many want to start a wave? We need just two or three intoxicated people who are filled with His Spirit. Come on, God wants to start a wave. We just need two or three intoxicated people. Number two, if we're to start a wave, we need to understand that there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what the world has to offer. How many know waves often start when there's a lull in the game, when there's penalty after penalty, or when the home team is losing, and so they think, well, let's just have a good time anyway. Hey, that's why they do it at Twickenham all the time. No, it's a bad joke. And, you know, it's just like the crowd going, let's have fun. You know, it often happens when the game's not that exciting. They don't start a wave when it's tense. I believe right now there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what the world's offering. The world's promised a lot, but it's answered very little. It's delivered on very little. And I believe right now people are looking to experience God. Not just have a belief, but an experience of God. You know, I love the fact that in our worship, again, miracles are taking place. We've seen over 30 testimonies of young people coming in. And suicide's a big issue in our nation, a huge issue. We've got the highest suicide rates in the OECD. It's just crazy. Beautiful New Zealand. But there's this dark thing going on where young people are taking their lives. And often we see people coming in and they're self-harming. They're cutting themselves on their outside to alleviate a pain on the inside. Now, we've got a group right now that God's using to actually, you know, bring answers to that situation. A young girl who's 12 years old came to a meeting that we're running. And in that moment, she had tried to commit a suicide 2 weeks before. But in that moment, she encountered God and got vision for her life. At the age of 16, she came to our church not knowing we were the ones who ran the tour that she turned up to. She ended up going to Bible college. She went to Bible college, but after Bible college, she fell off the rails. She had mental health problems. She tried to take her life many times more, ended up in a psych ward. Some of our pastors reached out to her, brought her to a service. In that moment, she encountered Jesus, just encountered Jesus, and was totally set free. Entered film school, became the youngest funded film producer in New Zealand at that time, produced a film called Jessica's Tree. That movie has gone right around the world, won many awards at film festivals. She was invited by Meghan and Harry to the UK, to Buckingham Palace, to come and consult on mental health. Now she's actually in charge. Yeah, she's got a job at the UN consulting countries, helping countries with this epidemic. Man, it's amazing what God can do. He can take a mess and He can turn it into a message. But we've got these young people coming in and they've got scars on their outside. And it's all because of this pain and this hopelessness on the inside. But in the middle of worship, we've had young people go, my scars disappeared. It's totally gone. Totally gone. In fact, one kid had a surgical scar around their neck. Parents aren't believers or anything, but the surgical scar totally disappeared. You know, they went home and they tried to explain it to their parents. It just went. See, right now there's a generation of people who are wanting to know the power of God. That God is real. I love my wife's hairdresser, not mine. I don't need one. But she was talking to, my wife was talking to her hairdresser and just saying, hey, God's real. Because she was asking about church and what she does. And she said, oh, I don't know if I believe. And my wife said to her, well, just pray. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. How many know people don't find God because they don't seek after Him? If they sought after Him, they'd find Him. You know, I really believe everyone's looking for Jesus. They're just looking in the wrong places. They're looking in careers, material possessions, you know, fame, and a whole lot of other things. We just need to point them to Jesus. And my wife said, just pray a prayer. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. So she said to herself, yeah, okay, God, if you're real, feathers are going to turn up in random places. That's what's going to happen. So, you know, she left, and at the end of the day, she was sweeping up some hair. And guess what was in the hair? A feather, which was crazy. Was it a little bit? Yeah, the screen's getting a little bit freaky back there, right? Yeah, all good. Isn't this man a good man? He's a good man. Woo! Do you want to do a dance up there? Or nah, okay, we'll leave it for another time. You might start a wave too early. But so she thought, ah, coincidence. Next day, she goes to the petrol station, goes to pay for her petrol, opens her purse, goes to pay. In the purse was a feather. It freaks her out. So much so that she goes, man, I don't want anything to do with this. My wife said, hey, it's all right. Come to church. She didn't want to come. After a year of asking her, she finally came to church. She dropped her kids off at the kids program, went to the balcony of where we were meeting. She sat down before the service, looked down at her feet, and guess what was there? A feather. That day she gave her heart to Jesus. And she said afterwards, that feather was just God telling me I'm home. You know, God wants to prove himself. But we've got to give him the space to do it. And right now there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what the world has to offer. And God right now is wanting to show himself strong on your behalf. If you just step out in faith. Come on, how many want to start a wave? We need two or three intoxicated people who realize there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what the world has to offer. And those two or three people just need to be totally committed. How many know it takes more than one voice to get above the noise of a crowd? You know, one person going, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey! It's like, nobody's going to notice. But if you get two or three together and they commit, you can get some traction. If two or three agree in Jesus' name, the Bible says he'll give us whatever we ask for. You know, so many leaders, you know, go on, let's start a wave, share vision, and they go, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey! Where's everyone else? But if we're just committed, man, what could God do? What could be released through the power of unity? I love the story found in Luke chapter 2 of Jesus when he's a young boy. He's going to the temple, the feast of the Passover. Goes to it, has a party, and you know, Mary and Joseph leave to go home. After the festival, they leave to go home. And the Bible says they were a day's journey down the road. And they thought, where's Jesus? How many know losing your kid in a mall for 5 minutes is freaky? Ah! But losing Jesus for a whole day? You know, imagine God, hey, where's my son? Don't know. You know, they lost the Son of God, the Redeemer of all mankind. They managed to lose him. And they were a day's journey down the road. Some of us are a day's journey down the road, and we don't know Jesus is missing. Here's the deal. Don't live a day without Jesus. Don't live a day without him. See, the problem was that Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary. So they thought, oh, it's all right. Joe's got Jesus. And Joseph's thinking, oh, it's all right, Mary's got Jesus. How many of us come to church and go, or don't come to church, it's all right, pastor will pray for me. They got Jesus. What if none of us have got Jesus? See, it's until we come together, you got to get this. It's until we come together, we don't know what we're missing out on. There's something released in our togetherness that only can be realized in our togetherness. So the person say, well, I can be a Christian and not come to church. It's just theologically up the creek. You know, because you don't understand the purpose of God. God's chosen his church to reveal his purpose. You know, the church doesn't have a mission. The mission came before the church. It came in Matthew chapter 28. And then the Holy Spirit came and the church was born. You know, it's like church doesn't have, the mission has a church, and we are his people who are called by his name. See, God right now is looking for a people to come together that he might manifest himself, that he might do something significant. See, the main weapon outside of willful sin that the devil has is to sow discord. Sadly, many sports teams and businesses in the world understand unity better than the church. And that's why they can do great things. I look at some things and I go, man, that's amazing. That's incredible. How do they do that? And often they're doing it without God. But what can you and I do with God? Surely if they can do that without God, we can do more with God. Come on, hello out there. You know, some of us are more impressed. And they're doing it because they understand the power of unity. Now, if we got hold of it, you know, what could be released? That's why the devil comes in and tries to get people to be independent. And independence actually destroys the work of God. That's why God's joining people together. You know, from even different nations. Because he understands, yeah, if I can connect people, they can just take one nation, but they can take nations in Jesus' name. Come on, I believe this is the greatest season of the church. And God is wanting to release a wave. Come on, is there anybody who wants to start a wave? Amen. Okay, what do we need? Just two or three. There's just two or three people. Maybe it's a young person who's going to start a wave in their high school. Maybe it's somebody else in their business, in their family. A wave is going to start. What do we need? Two or three intoxicated people who realize there's a disinterest and a dissatisfaction with what the world has to offer, who are just totally committed. Okay, we're in? Yeah, we're in. Let's do this. You know, and those people just need to keep on going. Number four, they need to keep on going amongst the limited response. Now cricket's not the most exciting game. It's a good game, but it's not the most exciting game. How many cricket fans out there? Any cricket fans? Okay, very few. Man, I thought the Homer cricket would have a whole lot more. But you know, I'm amazed. You know, cricket, you know, some people go to the cricket, 5-day test match, not many people there, before even the crowds arrived. You know, some guys are trying to start a wave. It's like, what are you doing? But they're going, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's like, nobody's there. And you know those guys, you know, they're there at the cricket, and they just go all day. They're going all day. It's going 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Okay, nobody, it's not working over there. But they don't give up. The ground fills up, and they're still going. You know, they go, okay, let's try this side this time. Okay, here we go, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Okay, you're dead. Okay, we'll try this side over here. And they just keep on going. They don't give up, and they go again. Let's go again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, oh, we got one. Okay, let's go with that. Okay, so they keep on going again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, oh, we got a bit of a move. It started. Now, where do waves always start? They always start in the cheap seats. That's where they always stop. But they keep on going and they go again. Come on, we've got a bit of traction here. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey! It goes around, oh, and it dies. But when it dies, you got a bit of movement. Everybody goes boo, boo. And they go again. And so they go again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey! Hey! Oh, we're almost there. Almost there. And it goes around the stadium. And guaranteed, a wave will always stop. Do you know where it always stops? It will always stop at the members' stand. I don't know if you have them in England, but we have members' stand. They're the ones who've been at the game the longest. In fact, they're the ex-players. They used to play the game, but they no longer play the game. A wave guaranteed will always die. You know, they've got the comfy chairs. They've got the meals delivered to them. You know, a wave will always die then. You know, where does a wave start? It starts in the cheap seats. It's the same in church. You know, where does a wave start? It often starts with new believers. What will kill a wave is those who have been there, done that. Been there, done that. Oh, look at those excited Christians. I once was excited, seen it, but now I'm disappointed. And they try and kill the wave. But I love the fact that the wave doesn't wait for the members to get involved. Because they go again. They go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, we're getting there, getting there. No members here. Because the wave will go around, hit the members stand, jump the members stand, and keep on going. Here's the deal. If you don't get on board with God, what God's doing, God will just jump you. He'll overlook you and keep on moving. Come on, there's 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There were generations who lived lives, never recorded, just overlooked 400 years of nothingness. I'm saying not in my generation. No, we're going to start a wave. We're going to see our nation one to Jesus. We're going to see a revival that's going to spread through the nations of the world. Come on, this is our time. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God available to us. Yeah, we've got treasure that's in jar clays, and sometimes we look at the clay jars, but there's a treasure within. And if we could just believe God, we could see a wave. Come on, how many want to start a wave? Come on, in this place. Come on, in Bournemouth, in the surrounding areas. Come on, a wave that spreads right around this nation. I believe part of your destiny is church planting. I believe you're going to see a raising up of young people, leaders, that are going to go far and wide in Jesus' name. I prophesy it. Come on, there's something in the DNA of this church. You know, I love the fact that you can count the pips in the orange. You can count them. There may be three or four. But you can't count the oranges in a pip. You can never. And the potential that's in this room tonight is massive. Massive. If you could just believe God. Come on. God. Our God is able to do. If we could have the musicians up. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think or imagine. You think this is big? God wants to go above and beyond. There is more in Jesus' name. Come on, how many want to start a wave? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, hey! Come on, have us standing on your feet right now. Come on, and can we lift our voices and give God a big clap of praise? Come on. I believe in young and old, God is going to do something. And if you want to be part of what God's doing, I want you to throw your hands in the air. Because at the start of this meeting, in the worship, I believe God was moving, He was speaking. And He's saying, there's more. There's more. Come on, to the man in the super dry top on the front row. There's more. There's something in you that's been frustrated. It's been frustrated and you feel it, and I believe that it's the Holy Spirit's provocation. And He wants you to go on a search. And if you go on a search, you're going to find the answers you've been looking for. There's been questions in your mind. Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? And God's saying, hey, if you search after me, you're going to find me, and He's going to position you. I see Him positioning you in a place of influence. I see Him giving you favor. I see His hand coming upon you. I see you being able to rally other people. In fact, God's going to anoint you and give you leadership. And you're going to say, how did this happen? It's going to be by His Spirit. You're going to find God, and there's a favor and a blessing coming to your life. How about just lifting your hands right now? Danny, I want you to lay hands on Him, man. Just right now. Holy Ghost, there's the anointing right now. Phil, come on, just receive right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, we release breakthrough right now. Lord, come do more, 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 more right now. There it is. There it is right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't know your name here. Karis, Just lift your hands to Jesus. There's a special touch of God on your life. There's a special touch. I see you going into environments where there's chaos and bringing peace. There's a quiet confidence in your spirit. And when you open your mouth and when you sing, peace is going to come. Peace be still. And there's things that you've even worked through that others don't even know. There's been an inner wrestling, but you found God in that place. And you know God. You know Him. You know His Spirit. I see you being alone and just been lost in His presence. And that's given you a grace to lead other people into the presence of God. It's been those alone times when others haven't seen. And you thought, oh, I don't know if this is real, but God will say, what you felt is real. And He's going to position you and He's going to anoint you to go into situations and bring the kingdom of God. Right now, there's just a fresh anointing upon you. Right now, in Jesus' name, it's just a wave of His presence. Right now, we release it right now in Jesus' name. There it is. Receive right now. Wave there. Anoint. Fill right now. Jesus, just receive. There it is. There it is. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you want a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost, just reach your hand, lift your hands, because I believe God is about to do something we've never seen before. In fact, if you're under the age of 25, I want you to come to the front. Because step back, Dom. Liars can't get hold of this. I feel like there's going to be a young person's awakening even between now and March next year. I just feel in the next few months you're going to see a harvest in your friend's life. And it's going to be released because some of you are going to get something on the inside. It's like, oh man, sometimes you felt church is boring, but stuff is going to come awake in life because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. He's going to come alongside you. He's going to empower you. Come on, you don't have to wait till you're old. You don't have to wait now. There's a now time in God, and God's going to fill you with His Spirit now. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, how about just lift your hands if you don't speak in tongues? Just right now, a whole lot of you, oh, this is the right altar call. Because God's going to fill you, and you're going to get a new language. A language that's not going to make sense to your natural mind. It doesn't make sense up here, but it's your spirit communicating with God. The Bible says you're speaking mysteries that you do not know of, but your soul, your spirit has been edified. And just right now, I want you to lift your hands and think of Jesus. And just relax. Because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And He's going to give you this language. And what I want you to do is by faith, I want you to open your mouth and just begin to speak. Not English, but He's going to fill you with a new language. Just right now, with a new language. Come on, the rest of you, I want you to pray. Come on, just release that language right now. You got it already. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You got it right now. Yeah, fill.